In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of Christ, of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We join together in the introit. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, You sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday of the Passion, also Palm Sunday, is found in the prophet Zechariah, beginning at chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today, I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that all called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Our epistle reading is found in the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand in honor of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that holy gospel according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held in consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And as the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on the right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priest with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, behold, he's calling Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith to one another and to the world in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is from our epistle reading from Philippians chapter 2. Let us pray. O Lord our God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts might be pleasing, acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Well, it was Palm Sunday, and Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, riding on the blazing white stallion, kicking up a cloud of dust as he rode along, looking for trouble. The people who passed on the side were struck by the awe of that beautiful white horse, and even more awestruck by the man riding it. As Jesus passed, you could hear the people say, "Who is that man?" There were the bad guys on the loose. Jesus had come to town to deal with them. A large crowd had gathered to see what the commotion was all about. That stallion stood on its hind legs, neighed loudly, and pawed the air with its front legs as Jesus ran off into the sunset. You could hear that William Tell overture in the background. That makes a great story, doesn't it? And we might wish that's the way Jesus entered Jerusalem, that his entry was a bit more spectacular, but we know that's not what happened on Palm Sunday. Now, there's no denying there was a touch of glory in the entrance of Jesus into that city of Jerusalem. Jesus was welcomed as a hero. People heard how Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, even though he'd been dead for more than 4 days. The news had spread about how he had healed people who were incurably sick, how the blind were able to see, the deaf able to hear. He restored people to their families after he had driven out evil spirits. The news had reached the people of Jerusalem about the compassion and the love of Jesus and how he had shown mercy to the likes of tax collectors and prostitutes. The crowd was excited that this miracle-working teacher was coming to town. And so they waved palm branches and they spread their coats on the road and they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The crowd welcomed him as they would a king. This was a man who came in the name of the Lord to intervene in the wretched circumstances of these people's lives to give them hope for their future. It was a man who would give them freedom from the Roman oppression, bring prosperity, bring a time of peace to their troubled land. That's what they were thinking. No wonder they cheered and paved the way with palm branches and clothing. In the eyes of those people gathered, there was no doubt in their mind that Jesus was the promised king sent from God. But this king was a bit different, wasn't he? There was no white stallion. There was no show of power or strength, no William Tell overture playing in the background. Instead, he rode a humble donkey, an animal used to cart things from place to place. And I was trying to think of maybe a little modern equipment. A donkey in those days was maybe a bit like some of those four-wheelers that some of the people have on their farms and ranches. That you could load up that donkey like you would load up your four-wheeler and drive it wherever you wanted to go to deliver the load. So to put the Palm Sunday story into a little more modern things, imagine Jesus sitting on the tailgate of one of those big four-wheelers, gators, whatever they call them, and riding into town. Not so glamorous compared to a chauffeur-driven, white leather-seated, air-conditioned stretch limo. As Jesus rode along, he didn't smile. He didn't give with the royal waves. His heart was heavy. In fact, Luke tells us that as he approached the city, he wept. You see, he knew that his enemies had been plotting to get rid of him. He knew all too well in just a few days these crowds that were shouting Hosanna to him and welcoming him as a king would be calling out, "Crucify! Crucify him!" He wept because they wanted peace in their city. But they could not see Jesus as the source of true peace, of forgiveness, of, of a restored relationship with God. They wept, or rather he wept, with grief, because he could see a time ahead when Jerusalem would be nothing but literally a pile of rubble. And those people waving those palm branches would fall under the Roman sword. Indeed, this was no ordinary king riding on a donkey. He has come to serve. He is a servant king. On Good Friday, we see the love that caused Jesus to be burdened with the sin of all humanity to give his life for us. It is in this context that we're confronted with these beautiful words of St. Paul to his Philippian friends. Paul, it seems, is quoting an early Christian hymn that speaks about Christ and who he is and what he has done for us. It's almost kind of another little mini creed. Paul presents Jesus in these contrasting pictures of both king and servant. We hear it again. Jesus, being in nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking upon himself the very nature, the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to death, even death on a cross. So see, at the very heart of Jesus' work was this humble, selfless desire to serve. Made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, we're told. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That Palm Sunday king did not want to dominate. He didn't want to lord it over others. He wanted to serve. And he always considered the needs of others first, even if that meant giving up his own life. If serving meant laying down his life, then he would do it. And that theme of service really comes through powerfully during Jesus' whole ministry. I mean, recall what happened on that first Maundy Thursday, that last Sunday, Last Supper. There was no one who had prepared to wash the dust off the disciples' feet before beginning the meal, one of the most basic forms of good housekeeping. And so Jesus, the Master, tied a towel around his waist, grabbed a bowl of water, and knelt down before the disciples and began to wash their feet. The picture of a true servant. Even though Jesus was their teacher, their master, even king, he never gave a second thought to doing the lowliest, the lousiest job of all, washing another person's dirty feet, a job only a servant would do. In the Old Testament, Isaiah describes what is today known as the suffering servant chapter. Isaiah is looking forward to that Savior. He describes the kind of person he will be. He says, he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. Because of our sin, he was wounded, beaten because of the evil we did, treated harshly, endured it humbly, never said a word. No glory there. Just a suffering servant. The King of Glory. Treated cruelly at the hands of his creation. He was mocked. He was whipped. He was nailed to a cross, as we heard in our gospel reading today. He died a shameful death. The death of only the worst kind of criminals. And he allowed all this to happen because of his love for you and me. Because of his desire that this relationship between God and humanity had to be restored. He died a servant meeting our greatest need, forgiveness, for the sin that plagues every moment of our lives here on earth. Being a servant was tough for Jesus. I mean, Satan was determined not to make it easy for him. Remember the temptations in the wilderness? The world didn't make it any easier. Crowds wanted to make Jesus a king. And how tempting that must have been. Jesus' own humanity didn't even make it easy for him to be a servant. Remember him in the Garden of Gethsemane? Neither is it easy for us to be servants. Paul says in the verses actually leading up to our text today, don't do anything from selfish ambition or from cheap desire to boast. Be humble toward one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. The attitude you should have is that Jesus Christ had, namely humility and servant. The apostle is urging us to adopt this same attitude of servanthood. As those who have benefited from Jesus shedding all his glory and all his power to serve our needs, we are now encouraged to be servants of Christ, to continue his ministry of service wherever we are. Just as Jesus has met us at our greatest point of need, so we're also encouraged to meet others at the same point of their greatest need. That may be a person who comes seeking assistance from you in the most inconvenient time for you. Or maybe it's a telephone call with a plea for help that comes right in the middle of something we're doing. Maybe it's a request that seems beyond our capacity to be able to handle. The job that is easy and will help someone, but we just don't think we've got time or the inclination to do it. As I said, being a servant is not easy. That's just a part of our sinful nature. Our sinful nature to do things only if we can find some benefits in us for it, or benefits for us. We don't want to give too much of ourselves away. After all, we do have other responsibilities. Servanthood means just this. It means helping. It means caring with a humility and a love that wants to serve others unselfishly. Jesus also said once, if anyone wants to be great, he must be the servant of the rest. And if one of you wants to be first, he must be your servant, like the Son of Man, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As we enter upon this Holy Week once again, I pray that we might reflect on the way Jesus gave himself completely and wholly in service to us. We were in need, and still are. Our sin would condemn us. We were cut off from God. And yet, Jesus graciously suffered and died for us. A true servant he became. Secondly, I pray that we would enter this Holy Week with a repentant heart, aware of the ways that we fail to be true servants to one another. Our selfish attitudes sometimes grieve God. So I pray that we would take a little time to reflect on what it means to be a servant and determine within ourselves to tear down those barriers of pride and self-concern, to seek to humbly serve at those points in people's lives where there is need. And finally, as we enter this Holy Week, I pray we would take time to stand before the cross in wonder and with thanksgiving and with praise for God for that total and complete way that he gave his Son, Jesus, for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. In our prayers, we remember Pastor Scott and Judy, Larry, Mary and Alfred, Cynthia, Cassidy and her twins Rhea and Emerson, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Don and Donna, Adeline, Francis, and Ron. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the Church of Christ, that her faith would remain fixed upon His death for our salvation, and that His gospel would be proclaimed and lived out until He comes again in glory, let us pray to the Lord. For the world, that the Lord would uphold it in His order, for the Church, that she would be defended from all enemies, for our homes, that God would bless parents and children in service toward each other and faith until life's end, and for the government, that God would grant all authorities health and wisdom. Let us pray to the Lord. For a mind like Christ Jesus to spurn all worldly equality, that we would humble ourselves here and find His greater portion in the life of the world to come, let us pray to the Lord. For all who suffer in this world, for those that we have so named, that they would not fear, but fix their eyes on Jesus as they await the fullness of their salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For worthy reception of Christ's body and blood, that as he once entered Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so we may receive Him according to His promises for the forgiveness of our sins, and in the unity of a true confession, let us pray to the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. stand as we begin the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, there life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now the peace of the Lord be with you always. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.
And His mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore You that of Your mercy, You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace.